I would say that that is the most challenging thing, you know, navigating the financial uncertainty, putting in the work every single day, suiting up and showing up no matter what, having a good attitude, walking through the fear. All those things are easy to do because I can control those things within myself. But putting together of other people and other people's emotions, other people's mindsets, other things that people are going through, and really facilitating the ecosystem to pursue the mission and accomplish the mission has been the most difficult thing, in my opinion. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Real Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Alex Kaufman. Thank you for joining again today. The purpose of this is to shed any insights, things that might help you out in your journey, real estate investing and business and entrepreneurship. This is the Real Entrepreneur Podcast.
So entrepreneurship often comes with its fair share of challenges. Can you share some of the biggest obstacles or hurdles that you've faced in your journey, how you've navigated through these and lessons you've learned along the way, specifically with TRE?
Yeah. So the biggest challenges and hurdles, in my opinion, are hurting the people that are needed to accomplish the mission and the goal. It's very easy for high performers, you know, Matt and myself, to operate on our own or operate together as high performers. But the biggest challenge that I've come across has been getting other people to perform and in sync and on the same track to accomplish the mission. That goes across, you know, partnerships, staff, contractors, vendors, etc. Because that is the one variable that you cannot control, you know. It's very easy for you or myself to control our actions, control how we navigate, control our mindset, control, you know, what we have within us. But when there are other people involved, that's where things get unstable. So I would say that that is the most challenging thing, you know, navigating the financial uncertainty, putting in the work every single day, suiting up and showing up no matter what, having a good attitude, walking through the fear. All those things are easy to do because I can control those things within myself. But navigating the putting together of other people and other people's emotions, other people's mindsets, other things that people are going through, and really facilitating the ecosystem to pursue the mission and accomplish the mission has been the most difficult thing, in my opinion. And I haven't quite figured it out. I don't know if anybody does ever, you know, figure it out eventually. Things are always changing, and the one constant is change. And so I'm sure it'll be, you know, a lesson that I continue to learn and get better at as time goes on. But I will say that it just in my experience, it's been easier to navigate that with a smaller group of people, and within that smaller group of people, having those people be extremely high performers and good at what they do. Because when you have those people in a small group setting on the same mission, accomplishing the goal, it has been much easier to facilitate that versus trying to do it with a large group of people.
So growing and scaling a business, you know, requires extreme focus as well as certain strategies. So what have you found most effective for driving growth and scaling operations within the business?
Things that we always talk about here on this podcast, you know, focus is really important. The people are really important. Systems and processes are really important. Being willing to bend those systems and processes is really important. But organization, structure, focus, and system and processes is the strategic way to grow and scale, in my opinion, with the right people sitting in the right seats, in my opinion, is the strategic way to grow and scale.
Well, can you expand on that? For someone that's just starting out with their business, what are the systems and processes that you believe they should implement? What does that look like? And then for the people part of it, you know, like, we have core values, for example. Are those things that you look for when you're hiring someone? you know, for someone that's just starting out, what's a better way that we can, you know, help guide them in that?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends, because if we're talking about real estate, that's one thing. But if we're talking about any business, then it just depends. But, you know, roles within the people. So going back to the people, like I said, I found it much easier to do it with a small group of people who are extremely high performers. Because when you have those right people, you really don't, there's not much management that needs to happen. And these people will instantly find their lane, stay in their lane, and start moving forward to accomplish, you know, what the business is trying to accomplish. And that is the ideal scenario, at least for me, because trying to convince other people and plug other people into a lane that, you know, might not be the best lane for them. Maybe they don't want to be in the lane. Maybe they're not the right person for the business. Maybe they have to be managed. Those things, it just becomes very difficult for me, at least. You know, I know some people that are really great at it and enjoy facilitating that. But for myself, and I probably can speak for Matt on this as well, it's very hard for us to manage that. And so what we found really effective is having those, you know, the very small group of people who are high performers, and us being a team and each getting into our own lane and, you know, going out to accomplish. And you really don't even have to, with these group of people, what's really cool about it is you don't even have to discuss what lane each person is going to be in. Everybody just kind of inherently knows. And there's no management in between, you know, each one of those people. And each one of those people just get in, they get going, and they start taking action. And especially if you find people there who are the high performers who, you know, are your partners, and they have the same mindset, they want to accomplish the same things. Going back to the core values, it's not even so much core values of the business, in my opinion, that are important. We've established core values as a business, and at first I thought it was pretty interesting and cool, and you know, it seemed to, I think that that's more so for the non high performers, and that's more so for facilitating the, you know, large group of people getting bought into the business's core values. But when we, you know, take the step deeper and we're talking about the few high performers who might be partners in accomplishing this, I don't think the business's core values matter that much. I think it's more so each person's individual values that they believe to their core that are more important. So instead of, you know, opportunities for everyone, or with not for, or no fear attitude being core values of the business, those really don't mean a whole lot to the, from a business. Because what happens is the business core values are kind of surface level in a sense. But when you get down to the partners and the high performers, the business values are important, because that is how, you know, you're projecting this to staff. This is how you're projecting this to customers. This is how you're projecting this through marketing. But deeper than that is the partners' values and core values. Things such as loyalty, integrity, honesty, you know, fighting for each other, putting in, you know, the work that's required every single day, spiritual values, being there for one another, because, you know, even at the partner level with those few high performers, you have different people who believe different things and kind of react to things in a different way. And so you have to display, you know, it's a relationship. It's like being married. So you have to display the same, you know, things that you would in a relationship with your spouse, in a sense, right? Like humility, listening to the other person's feelings, walking them through, you know, anything that they might be struggling with. It's not so much, you know, it's each partner being willing to work with each other to accomplish the goal. And so those things I think are more important than the business core values, is making sure that the your partners and your high performers that are working together on this do inherently believe the same things to their core, because if not, you will run into conflict somewhere along the way. And those things that they do believe to their core, if those two things are at conflict, it's really hard to work through that, because, you know, these are things that define who that person is and this person defines themselves as. So if those are at conflict, it can be an issue, but I think that those are really important. However, the business core values at the partnership level, I don't believe are that important. It's more so just like that more falls in line with the business plan versus the plan of the partners who are going to war with each other every single day. And then in terms of systems and processes, you know, everything, right? Like, in order for a business to be repeatable and to scale, there needs to be a repeatable and scalable process. So whether that's sales, whether that is the marketing, whether that is the accounting and admin, whether that is the, you know, facilitation of making offers, buying deals, putting the teams together, et cetera. As you start going through the processes of doing this, I wouldn't suggest, I wouldn't suggest creating the process before doing the process or doing the activity. I would suggest do the activity to learn what the process needs to be and put an initial process in place and then continue to refine and improve over time. But, you know, you'll start to notice all these things that need systems and processes and communication, et cetera, in order to make things more efficient.
Yeah. So with that, you know, decision-making, risk-taking in business are a large part of it. So how do you approach that, especially when faced with uncertainty? This could be regarding staff, when to let them go or have a talk with them. It could evolve around certain events, ad spend, you know, monetarily, or it could be regarding to deals. But how is your mind process around
taking risks?
Yeah, within
making,
like,
decisions
within the business. Yeah, in terms of like minimizing fallback.
That's kind of a complicated question to answer as well, but in my mind, at least within my position, you know, seeing and being a part of every single aspect of the business to an extent, I know what's going on in every single area at all times. So I know what is happening over here and what we're spending over here and what the objective is over here in this department. Same thing in this department, in this department, in this department. I know each department's individual goals. I know what's going on with each individual department head. I know what's going on with the staff within the departments and where they're at. Now, not to 100% extent of every single little detail, but enough to be able to make decisions to where I know if I do this, it's going to affect this, this, and this, but we might get this. And so when it comes to a decision such as, you know, spending more marketing here, I know that it gives me less leeway over here. And so I'm consciously choosing pull back here to implement here because of the results that it will provide. So when it comes to decision making, it depends on what type of decision it is. It depends on who's going to be affected. It depends on what's going to be affected. It depends on the current focus and the desired result that we're looking to accomplish company wide. It depends on a lot of different factors. And so I take every single one of those factors into the decision making process, and it constantly fluctuates. So if we were going to look at a decision, you know, for something that was going to happen today, if we were going to look at that same decision 3 months later, it probably could be completely different and be a different decision due to what's going on at the time and where everything is currently moving. And so it's a constant balancing act of all the things that are going on at all times. And depending on when that decision needs to be made, depends on the result of, you know, or my decision in the moment to either A, do it or not do it, or adjust it in this way or that way. But I have to take into consideration every single factor. I can't just think about, you know, this one lane where that decision is being made. I have to think about that plus the 20 other things that are going to be affected by that decision that's made. And then you had asked about staff. I know pretty quickly whether or not, you know, someone is going to work out or not. I prefer to, for that person's sake, for the company's sake, for my sake, every single thing that that staff member is going to affect stake, I prefer to cut quickly versus letting things drag on and give many chances.
So the entrepreneurial journey can be unpredictable, lonely, hard. So for those that are just starting out, you know, what are some things that you can advise or recommend to stay resilient, even in challenging times? Like a lot of realtors specifically right now are experiencing that. Maybe it's on the upward trend, but what advice do you have for them to stay resilient, have a positive mindset?
Just for me, I kind of prefer to be in that state. So this is where it comes down to, you know, do you really want this or not? And why are you doing this? Because I don't believe that this is for most people. And I believe that most people really don't want the life that's required in order to do these things. And I don't necessarily either. You know, it's not like I say to myself, you know, or think to myself that I want a lonely, daunting, whatever the, you know, adjectives that were described to describe entrepreneurship. It's not like I tell myself I want those things. And I actually don't think that it is those things. It's all about your perspective and how you handle this and how you approach going about it. But for me, I prefer to be in a state of pursuit of achievement. You know, I don't want to feel like things are done. I posted this video on my Facebook the other day of Kobe Bryant, and I don't know when this was or what year this was, but it was like a post-game interview, and it was like the second game in the NBA Finals or something like that. And, you know, the reporter said, why aren't you happy? And he said, what's there to be happy about? He said, the game's not over, or, you know, we haven't won. The problem hasn't been solved. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it's, yeah, job's not finished. Essentially, it's a mindset that he wore and that, you know, I wear. It's not fulfilling to me to, you know, be happy all the time. It's not fulfilling to me to, you know, feel like I've accomplished something. What's fulfilling to me is the pursuit of the accomplishment and constantly doing the next thing, right?
Waiting for a big smile out of you. You're up 2-0. What's the story? Are you not happy, or you're only half happy, or?
Stay to be happy about.
You're up 2-0.
Job's not finished. Job finished? I don't think so.
Okay. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I don't know, for other people, you know, a lot of people want to celebrate those things. And I really don't like celebrating anything, actually, because I never feel like I'm done. I never feel like anything is done. And I don't know if I'll ever feel that way. I don't know if I ever feel like, all right, my job is done and I have accomplished what I want to accomplish. The bar will always be moved to the next thing. But it's the pursuit of that I enjoy. It's the pursuit of moving to the next thing. It's the pursuit of accomplishing something bigger. It's the pursuit of continuing to move forward that is fulfilling to me. And within that is where, you know, I really get to be myself. And it's within that pursuit that I really get to dive deeper into, I don't know, like the animalistic side of humans, right? I've always thought that I would really enjoy being in the military or going to war or living back in a time where every single day was a fight to survive. Living back in the old West where, you know, it's it's 9:45 a.m. on a Friday, and all these things that we have around us are, you know, it makes our lives very easy. I got a cell phone, I got a TV, I've got water, I can go to the grocery store and get food. Life is so easy. And living an easy life isn't really fulfilling to me. But back to the old West, I've always thought that I would enjoy fighting for my life every single day. You know, instead of doing this on a Friday, you know, maybe we have to fight a pack of Comanches here in Texas, you know, or living in a time where like half my, you know, my entire day or my entire week is going out and hunting for food to come back and provide for the tribe. Like that type of life is fulfilling to me. The pursuit of fighting for something, the pursuit of never being done, the pursuit of that is fulfilling to me. The accomplishment, the celebration, the easy way has never been and really isn't fulfilling in any way whatsoever to me. So, you know, loneliness and tribulations and all these things that people might experience going through entrepreneurship, I don't know. Like, do you want an easy life or do you enjoy this kind of, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. Maybe a psychologist could, but do you enjoy this really deep thing inside of you that wants to fight for something every single day? And that's what I enjoy doing. And I don't even care about the businesses and real estate and money and all these things. What I get 1,000% full fulfillment from is waking up in the pursuit of fighting for something every single day. And that's what I love doing. So it's not really lonely. It's not really daunting. It's not any of those things because I enjoy being in that state of kind of survival mode. I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of explanation for that in human beings and why some enjoy tapping into it and others don't. But I enjoy staying in that state of survival mode. And that's what makes me happy. You know, that's what I get fulfillment from. It's not the celebration or the other things. And, you know, sometimes I think to myself when I'm in certain situations around people where maybe I'm, you know, not showing emotion or anything, but it's because, you know, I want to get back to the fight. Like I'm thinking about the fight. I'm thinking about the pursuit. I want to get back on in motion to go hunt. Cause that is what's fulfilling. So my advice, I don't know. I don't really have much, you know, if you want to, you know, really do big things, I would encourage you to figure out how to tap into that part of your brain.
So what are you currently fighting for?
Well, the current mission, that we're on right now is to buy bigger and better deals. But going back to what I was talking about with the partners, the question was, what am I currently fighting for? And these things that we're fighting, you know, for the next thing, like I said, those things don't really matter because once we achieve it, it's on to the next one, right? So it's really just a target. It's a goal. And what we're fighting for right now is bigger and better deals with more investors. But what I'm truly fighting for is not that. What I'm truly fighting for is, you know, my two brothers next to me. It is, I'm fighting with them, for us. And that is what I'm fighting for. And that's why I said that for us to keep moving forward, for us to accomplish the next thing, for us to keep going up levels, I'm fighting for them. I'm not fighting for that. And we're fighting together for each other and for the advancement of each other, not for that, if that makes sense. And so, you know, that's why those partners, those high performers are really important, because those are the people you're going to war with every single day. It's fighting for your family. It's fighting for your partners. It's fighting for each other. It's fighting for, you know, just like I was talking about the people back in the, I don't know, nomad days, where you had to go figure out how you're going to get water, and you had to, you know, the men had to go on week-long treks to kill a buffalo in order to feed the clan, you're not fighting for the buffalo. You're fighting for your people, for the people that you're looking to provide for. And that's what I'm fighting for. It's not the accomplishment, because as I've said multiple times, the accomplishment doesn't mean anything. I'm fighting for the pursuit of moving forward with my brothers and my family. All right. Well, that wraps up the Q&A session today. Hope this was beneficial for you. And for those of you who don't want to fight, I would encourage you not to try and learn how to fight, and not to try and, you know, if you don't really love this stuff, then, and you don't love this way of life, then I would encourage you to go find something that you do love doing. For the real estate aspect, reach out to us. We're here to help in any way that we can. We're looking for more partners. We want to invest with you. On April 30th through May 2nd, May 3rd for only the VIP members, we're hosting a virtual boot camp. It is going to be called Find $1 Million Deal Boot Camp. So I'm going to show you in 3 days how to find the deal, what to look for, how to contact the brokers, how to write the LOIs, and how to structure the deals to get a $1 million deal. Not a deal that costs $1 million, but a deal that's going to make you $1 million. This boot camp is going to be virtual. There are limited seats available. You can get a ticket at TREUniversity.com/bootcamp. Hope to see you there. But if not, we will see you next week.